Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Julia Witt up with Talk Story Radio, and we have with us this morning Wiley Paul, who is a very interesting man. He is the creator, I guess, of Planet Shifter magazine, and that's at planetshifter.com if you want to go take a look at it while you listen to this interview. But Willie, tell us about, you were telling me earlier about rewilding and permaculture. Shall we explore that a little further?
Sure, that'd be excellent. That's the current piece that's illustrated in the center illustration on the webpage. You'll see eight symbols, five of which I attach to rewilding, and three of which I attach to permaculture. And in this piece, I'm interested in the intersection or the mixing of those two. Let's call them movements to make it easier to understand. These are movements that challenge man's dominance over nature and man's use of nature. So I'm using symbols as a catalyst, a nonverbal cue to get at that intersection. And you can see the symbols on the homepage. They include trekking and instinct and the corn of native people and Gaia. That's the sort of global illustration in the lean-to. These are all things that I ascribe to rewilding. And, of course, permaculture is more prominent in circles I run in. But you would have to look at permaculture and how it deals with the planet. It's still carving it up with rows and manipulating the rainfall. So I wanted to challenge people in the permaculture world to take a look at what they're doing and perhaps be softer and more spiritual in their practice. That's hard to do because permaculturists are scientists and soil engineers, and I've always had trouble with them, trying to get them out of their box. But that's what the piece
they
is
like
about,
to take charge
out,
of.
You know, box.
Yeah.
Well,
and this little
do,
lean-to
yeah.
you have here, I'm really drawn to that image. Would you say that's rewilding or permaculture?
Oh, no, that's under the rewilding symbol section. So that should be
okay.
A part of going back to nature and living with it versus carving it up and getting a yield. So there's two different philosophies here.
So even though there's a man-made structure there, it's still living with the culture or with the nature.
Yeah, because that structure will decompose and go back to the planet in a couple of years. So I would argue that it's part of nature.
Okay. I guess I agree. It wouldn't take it long to go back because it would fall down
right. And
then it would go right back.
Yeah, it would succumb to the elements, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you consider, how would you define rewilding?
Well, I published a very long interview with a fellow from out east, Dandy Lion. He's a rewildist and a teacher of children. I would suggest that rewilding, first of all, is about nature lore and about that spiritual connection to nature and to animals and to protect and to live with them. Live lightly on the planet, go lightly, I guess is the cliche. So it's learning how to survive in an appropriate way. I don't think rewilding is survivor bent, although I think there's an element of survivorship or survivalism in rewilding. So, yeah, it's basically living with nature instead of on top of it.
Okay. And then, okay, so where would you make the divide if we build a structure that's not living with nature? Because even beavers build homes.
That's true. Where would I make the separation between the two movements that way? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, permaculture is interested in part in building permanent agricultural facilities and homes. You could argue that a cob house is a lot more permanent than a lean-to. But we're probably, shaving a fine hair there. But what I'm trying to say is permaculture is a groovy new hippie way to engineer the land. And rewilding is a chance to go back and create harmony, not carve up nature.
Okay. And then you also have here a myth lab. Talk to me about the myth lab. What's in there?
Well, this lab is an opportunity, a structure, process to write new myths, and I'm gonna tell you straight up that that's a controversial thing to do. But gall darn it, I've done it like 74 times, so I guess I'm used to the controversy. It's probably a little scientific and a little heartfelt. You have to identify an arc. What's the word? An artifact. My process is driven by an artifact that you use to write the story. You could use that lean-to image, for instance, to write the new myth. There's a schema, a set of sort of support rules that go with that process. And certainly people can look that up. But I'm trying to revive what I see as a dead myth planet, a classic myth planet that doesn't have any responsiveness anymore. So rather than play with the old ones that don't work, I'm trying to create new ones. That's the bottom line.
That will resonate with the archetypal structures within, or
Yes, ma'am, that's right.
what are they? Okay.
New myths are driven by that artifact, which is, symbolic, obviously. And then there's a bunch of elements that go with that process. I've identified like 12, including, paying attention to the apocalypse. The apocalypse could be spiritual, it could be physical. That's a very charged process, but I think it's included. And I think there's an element of science fiction in what I'm trying to do with new myths. So I am using Campbell for the journey and the initiation, but I got into trouble with the Joseph Campbell people because I'm promoting the community hero over the individual hero. That community hero aspect is very important to me as I write new myths.
Okay, I see your point. So the community hero would be more, instead of going out on a individual journey, the community hero would be trying to save the community, or what? Tell me a little bit more about that.
I think you have it. I'm promoting the community well-being over the individual's well-being and the individual's ego. I'm looking for a holistic approach to solving the community's problems, And that comes back to the transition movement, which I'm involved with, and something called localization. Localization is bringing the energy and the resources back to the source and taking away the safeways and the trucking routes and the oil industry and having some sort of sustainability in the local level. So that's also what I mean by creating a community hero. Everybody's equal. Everybody gains. Everybody shares in the work.
Okay. So the community as a hero.
Yes, ma'am. That's a big one for me.
Okay.
And that's a part of what I'm talking about with newness, making newness. You'll find that theme in those things over and over again.
Okay. And how does that fit with this? Okay, you have an archetype section. So that's
yes, ma'am.
Stories that explore archetypes.
Well, actually, to be more specific, the archetypes are based on Jung's work on that subconscious-conscious interface that has been explored over and over again. I'm also challenging that. I'm hoping that I can share some new archetypes that might be more beneficial. I think some of the older archetypes, like old myths, are dead or are just ineffective. You'll find a list of new archetypes that I proposed in this piece that's highlighted on Planet Shifter homepage. So those are the ones that I've come up with recently, and they all relate to a movement and to a symbol. That's how I'm developing new archetypes. Now, it is, again, controversial, very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but who
but
cares,
you're trying
right?
to... Yeah, exactly. That well, and that's how transformation occurs. You can't just stand on one side or the other. You have to transform in the middle.
Very well said. That's where I am.
You're doing it, and you're trying to show other people how to do it. It's kind of nebulous.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you got to begin here.
Okay, and alchemy. Okay, alchemy is how you do it, right?
Yeah, alchemy is the spiritual, physical power that I'm talking about a lot. And yes, that's true. Alchemy and symbols, especially, are generating these new archetypes. That would be the quick and dirty of it.
And tell me something about your workshops that you have. How often do you have those?
Well, I did a series of roundtables recently in various cities in Northern California, including Santa Barbara and Davis and the Bay Area. So I took some of these same ideas that we're discussing and presented those, and then we had some discussion. And then all that material has been archived in Planet Shifter. So if you search on Roundtable, you'll find that material available to you. I've made meticulous notes and saved files so people can find that and to look at it themselves.
And is there any way for people to be informed when you're having a new workshop? Or do you have a mailing list at all?
I'll let you know, and then you can broadcast it to your community. How's that?
Okay, that'd be great. And I noticed you have some e-books here.
Yeah, the e-book is a chance to package and repackage my work into sort of logical topics. But they certainly don't cost anything. Those are free. But I'm trying to make my work even more accessible than perhaps it is.
Oh, it's wonderful that you don't have to try to make money on any of this. So you're free to explore any direction you like, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's right. it's taken over 6+ years to get to this point. You know, just really starting. So that's the exciting part. I do make money as a consultant in Silicon Valley, so I don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Yeah, I that was something that was really noticeable about your website. There was like nothing on here where you're asking anybody to buy something.
Right. That's power. I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, I thought, wow, this is interesting. This is very different.
Yeah, I don't have any of those baggage points, so I'm really pleased I've done it that way.
Yeah, that is good. Okay, well, is there anything you'd like to tell the listeners? Our time's almost up.
Well, just ask them to explore the homepage because that's where all the recent posts are.
Okay.
And to also go ahead and use the search engine there, the search box, to look for topics. I'm hopeful that they'll find something that might resonate with them. And thirdly, I really would welcome anybody's comments or ideas to partner with me. I do lots of conversations and interviews, so there's lots of opportunities to get involved here. So I'm willing to invite people in.
Okay, fabulous. And I assume I can put any of these videos. Are these all on YouTube too?
Yeah, all the videos are on YouTube, so you can link to them quickly.
Okay, and I've been embedding them in my front page, so I did the bee one, and right now I've got the water one up on our front page.
Nice, thank you.
Because I like them so much, and I'm thinking about doing. I might have to put some. They might think all she does is Willie Paul now, but they're just so fascinating.
Good. So, are we gonna? Am I going to be able to get a transcript, an audio, or a text version of this interview?
Yes, it's on Blog Talk Radio at actually go to talkstoryradio.us and that'll put you there, and you can get the code and put it on your website or whatever you want. And I'd like to invite you later to be on a video podcast with me.
Well, that sounds good. I'll have to get a haircut.
Okay, well, let's stay in touch so I'll know when you're ready.
Okay, thanks, Julie. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.